In the name of the Lamb who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, to him be glory forever and ever. Sermon text today from Revelation chapter 7 gives us a glorious vision of what it will be like for believers at the end of it all when they are safe with the Lamb forever. That's the vision that we've been singing about in our first two hymns, the higher throne and Jerusalem, the golden. That's the kind of glorious vision that can make your eyes well up right there in the pews. And especially when that vision has recently become a reality for one of your dear loved ones. Someone that you have now laid to rest, but whose soul has gone to join that multitude robed in white, standing before the throne. Today we want to take to heart the truths of this vision so that we can experience the blessedness that God has in store for those who do so. From the beginning of the book of Revelation, Jesus tells us, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. And so we'll summarize the blessings that God gives us through this glorious throne room vision with our theme, a vision of future glory gives us assurance and endurance. Now, before we launch in, it's good for us to remember, or maybe to learn for the first time, the overarching purpose that God gives for the whole book of Revelation. And so from its very first verse, he makes that clear. It's the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. God wants to equip and prepare us who are living in this time in between Jesus' first coming and his second coming. He wants to equip us for everything that we're going to face. And that verse also told us something about the method that God is going to use to do it. He's going to show us. And so in the book of Revelation, we see a series of pictures and visions that are designed to illustrate truths about what we are going through here in the present and what we will face yet to come in the future. It's important to see those pictures all together. It's important to look at those pictures as a whole. It's important not to press any one detail of those pictures too boldly or too literally. It's also important to compare those pictures to each other and to let God give the meaning of those pictures by comparing it to the rest of Scripture. Now, when we narrow down our focus to our specific scene that we have before us today, we find it in a series of visions called the Vision of the Seven Seals. Now, the picture that I want you to have in your mind is not of like animal seals, but of an ancient-looking scroll that has seven seals on it, seals that were like pressed in wax with an official signet ring. And only the Lamb is worthy to open those seals because his blood was slain, and he purchased for God people from every tribe and nation and language. Now, that glorious throne room vision scene that we were reading before, that comes from the end of the vision. But just like if you take a book and you skip all the beginning pages and then you just read the last page of the book, well, it doesn't have quite the same effect. And so I want to take you quickly through each of the beginning seals so that that vision of the glorious throne room at the end has its full effect. The first seal opens and things start out on a positive note. Out of the first seal bursts the rider on the white horse. He's wearing a crown and he's bent on victory. And later in the book of Revelation, we find out for sure that this rider is Jesus, who rides out with the power of the gospel to win more souls to himself. And that rider rides out until the end of time. Then after that, the next seals basically spell a lot of bad news in a row. Maybe you've seen some representation of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Well, the next one to come out of the second seal is the rider on the red horse, and he brings war and violence to the earth. We've seen that violence break out. We've seen wars most recently in Israel and before that in Ukraine, and we've seen it through the ages. Out of the next seal comes the rider on the black horse, and he brings to the earth famine and inflation. There's a voice that's announcing basically like a loaf of bread sold for a whole day's wages. Now, thankfully, we're not at that point of inflation yet, but inflation's on everybody's mind lately. And also, there's still like a good portion of the world that's still going hungry. We see the effects of the red horse, of the black horse. After that comes the pale horse with its rider Death and Hades following behind him. The pale horse brings with it sickness and plague and disaster. And together, these three horsemen and the horses, they are given power to bring suffering and affliction and death upon the earth. Then the Lamb opens the fifth seal. And we get to see the souls of those who have been slain because of their testimony about the word of God. And those souls are under the altar. And they're crying out, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" But it's not the Lord's time yet. It's not the end time yet. And so those souls are given a white robe, and they're told to wait just a little bit longer. Then the sixth seal opens with great and terrifying signs. There's an earthquake, and the sun turns black, and the moon turns red, and the stars fall out of the sky. This is the great day of judgment pictured for the kings and princes of the earth and for everyone who has rejected the Lamb. And on that day, they will cry out to the mountains to fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. And this part of the vision is a call to repentance for everyone. Repent while your time of grace still lasts so that you will not face the wrath of the Lamb. But this great day of judgment, and so much differently for believers. For believers, an angel comes with the seal of the living God, and he presses his seal on the foreheads of the faithful remnant of God's people that he has preserved here on earth. The angel comes and seals the 144,000, which is not like an exact and literal number for the people that are going to be in heaven, just 144,000. No, it's a symbol of the church here on earth. The number 12 reminds us of the 12 apostles and the 12 tribes of Jacob. The number for the church in the book of Revelation, 12 squared times the number of completion, 10 cubed, and so you get 144,000. When you think about that number compared with the population of all the earth, it's still fairly small. It still reminds us that while we're here on this earth, the church is seemingly humble and struggling. And then that vision gives way to the final glorious throne room vision that we have been waiting for all along. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Now the tribulation is over, and it's not just the 144,000, but it's that number added to all the believers, all the saints of all time in the glorious multitude standing before the throne. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches, the symbols of purity and victory. And everyone is worshiping and glorifying God, crying out, "Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb who sits on the throne." And God has designed the structure of this whole vision in a very specific way in order to bless us. You see, he shows us all of the bad stuff, all of the troubles and tribulations that are going to be brought on by those three horsemen of the apocalypse, so that we're ready for reality, so that we know what to expect here on earth, that it's through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. But he also shows us the end of the troubles we face. He shows us that trouble giving way to its final glorious resolution. He shows us the bad stuff as well as the good stuff. He shows us the trouble and the glory to be revealed. And he does that for a very specific and beneficial reason to us. Let me try and illustrate it for you this way. Maybe you remember this past summer, my family, we got to go to Alaska. And we went on a number of hiking trips there in Alaska. And there was two trips that I'm thinking of that were two hiking trips that were vastly different experiences. See, the first one, it was kind of cold and it was drizzly and the hike was long and steep, and our friends, they had never been to the top of this one either, so like nobody really knew what was going on. And we were carrying this kid, the 30-pound toddler, and my wife was like 7 months pregnant. We were probably harder than we should have been doing. But we walked and we climbed and we dragged ourselves up that mountain, only to realize that no matter how far we got up on that mountain, the top of that mountain was going to be covered with fog and clouds, and there was going to be no glorious vision from the top. And that fact was draining. It made every step miserable, meaningless, and heavy. It made it so much easier to say, "Enough. I've had enough. We're not going to see anything better. We're going back down the mountain." And finally, that's what we did. We never made it to the top. We turned around and we took the bitter hike back down the mountain. My friends, that is what the devil is trying to do to us through the bitter troubles and tribulations of this world. He's trying to get us to grow weary of God's plan and say, "Enough. I've had enough. Forget it. It's not worth it. I'm giving up." And the devil has already successfully done that to a great number of people here on this earth. The Apostle Paul tells us the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ. And the devil is also trying to do that very same thing to believers, with things like war and tribulation and sickness and pandemics and death. He's trying to use those things which are painful, painful enough to block our view of the fact that God has a plan to work everything for our eternal good and for our eternal glory. And so when our confidence that God will rescue us safely and bring us to his heavenly kingdom, when that confidence dies, so dies our faith. And so that doesn't happen, God gives us this glorious vision of the top. He gives us assurances to keep us moving forward. So a vision of future glory gives us assurance. Now, let me tell you about the other hike that we went on. There was a similar set of trials and tribulations on that hike. This time, it was like brutally hot that day, and we probably didn't have as much water as we should have. And this one was even like steeper. It was pretty much just steps straight up the mountain for like a couple miles. But this time, our friends had already been to the top. And this time it was a clear and sunny day, and so every step of the way, they could assure us, just a little bit longer. It'll be worth it at the top. Just keep going, because there's more in store for you than steps and mosquitoes. Just wait till you get to the top. And that assurance gave us endurance. It encouraged us to keep going one step at a time until finally we reached the top of that mountain and laid our eyes on the most beautiful sight we could have possibly imagined. And it was all worth it, just as we had been assured. My friends, this is the kind of glorious mountaintop vision that Jesus gives us here in Revelation. The vision of the white-robed multitude in heaven, it tells us that there is an end to our tribulation. The elder in the vision, he asked John, "These in white robes, who are they? Where do they come from?" John's kind of like, "Well, you gotta know better than me." And so the elder, he answers his own question. He says, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." The Lamb will bring us out of the great tribulation. He will wash us in his blood, which is kind of a strange image, because usually like blood red spells disaster for a laundry load full of whites. But in the Bible, it's like blood red washing scarlet red sins, that equals white. So the Lamb promises he will wash our sins away and clothe us in those white robes of righteousness. And Jesus gives us this glorious assurance of our future in heaven to give us endurance now. Jesus wants to encourage us now in the thick of our pain. This vision is his voice saying, just a little bit longer, just keep going. It'll be worth it at the top. There is more in store for you than crying and mourning and pain. In fact, when you get there, there will be no more of any of those things ever again. The vision tells us they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. He who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. All of this that no eye has seen, that no ear has heard, that no mind could conceive of, these are the things that God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things that God has prepared for you, dear believer in Christ, and every believer that has gone before you. So let these assurances give you endurance so that you may run with perseverance the race marked out for you until at last the vision comes true and we stand faultless before the Lamb forevermore. And on that day, we'll know with all our heart it was all worth it. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please stand. Thanks so much for worshiping with us today. We hope that God's word has strengthened your faith. To help us know more about the reach of our efforts here at Manav, we hope that you'll like and subscribe to our YouTube and Facebook pages, and that you also sign our online friendship register to let us know that you're listening today. God bless and keep you.